Blessings, everybody. This is Dale. Thank you so much for joining with me today on the Word Podcast. We're in 2 Samuel chapter 15, and we're seeing the account of Absalom. So let's pick it up. We looked at a couple of verses previous episode. Let's start there again. Verse 7 says this. Now it came about at the end of 40 years, or as we saw before, 4 years. I think it's probably 4 years, that Absalom said to the king. So here's Absalom speaking to the king, and he says this. Please, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed to the Lord in Hebron. For your servant vowed a vow while I was living at Geshur in Aram, saying, if the Lord shall indeed bring me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve the Lord. So we looked at this in the previous episode. And so he's saying, I made a vow. If I could come back to Jerusalem, then I would serve the Lord. I have come back to Jerusalem. I want to serve the Lord. I've been serving the Lord. I want to go back and pay this vow now, whatever it was. Well, verse 9, the king said to him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. So this is some 4 years later, like I said, after he had been restored to Jerusalem. So it's 9 years after he killed his brother. And so David, the king, is giving him some, shall we say, leeway. He's letting him move on. You know how you do that. You trust somebody, but then they do something. You don't trust them, but over a period of time, that trust is built back up. What do you think the next word is? Verse 10. But, you got it. Listen to this. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom is king in Hebron. Now, wait a minute. Where was he wanting to go? Yeah, Absalom was wanting permission to go to Hebron, to go and pay this vow. That's one of the things that sometimes I'm wondering. Well, I wonder if he really actually made a vow like that, or maybe he did, and now he's trying to use it at his advantage. We simply don't know. I don't think you know. There may be some portion of Scripture that tells us that I don't know about yet, but we'll see. But anyway. He had been plotting this, folks, okay? Because it says that he sent spies throughout the tribes of Israel. So this means there's 12 tribes of Israel, that he has gotten people that have gone into each one of these tribal groups and have said to them, hey, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom is king in Hebron. So this is something that he was plotting among the people. This is something that he was plotting geographically. Okay, geographically, that this was being plotted. It would have taken some coordination to do this. It would have taken some time to do this. And so he had been laying the groundwork for all this. What do you think he'd been doing 4 years, right? He'd been laying the groundwork for this. He'd been laying the groundwork by saying, man, I wish somebody appointed me judge. I would give you, favor. I would find in your favor, okay? So all this is going on. Verse 11, then 200 men went with Absalom from Jerusalem who were invited and went innocently, and they did not know anything. Oh, so Absalom gets these 200 men that he'd invited to go with him to Hebron to pay this vow. They were innocent. Well, innocent of what? Well, innocent of the knowledge of what Absalom was actually up to. The Hebrew word actually means they were invited and went in their integrity. I love that phrase. They went in their integrity. In other words, they were innocent. They did not know what he was planning and what was going on. And so the word forthrightly says they didn't know anything. Verse 12, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel. That's a great word name they have to say, Ahithophel. The Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, Gilah. Okay? So Absalom sends for this guy who is David's counselor, and he's David's counselor in the city, Gilah. So he sends for him while he was offering the sacrifices. So Absalom comes, and he offers the sacrifices, and then he sends for one of David's counselor. Well, the counselor comes, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. We're not told whether Ahithophel knew what Absalom was doing. I'm sort of inclined to think that perhaps he didn't, and we may find out later that he did. You know, it's always intrigue here, right? What's going on? But the fact that the 200 men went innocently with him, okay, and then he calls for one of David's counselors, and you think, well, why would he do this if this guy's not in on the conspiracy? Well, it's in the eyes of the people, when they see Absalom with David's counselor, then they're thinking everything he does is verified by the throne, has the approval of the throne. You know, it's the same exact type of chicanery that we see going on with mankind today. The same thing. So Absalom has gone. He's offered a sacrifice. He's got these 200 men. He's got David's counselor there in the city. But then this, and the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. The people were moving toward Absalom to be the king. Now, remember him. He was tall, dark, and handsome. Okay? And again, same thing today. Mankind is always attracted in that way. So what happens? Verse 13, and we'll just start this part of it, and we'll pick it up in the next episode. Then a messenger came to David saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom." That right there is, in my mind, a pretty big leap. That shows us how intense and what was going on with this conspiracy that was increasing in strength, with this conspiracy where the people were increasingly, continually with Absalom, that a messenger would come back and tell David this. I'm sort of curious as to who provided the message. Who sent the messenger? Was there a message from somebody? Or was it just the kind of thing that there was a messenger that thought David needed to know about this? And he goes and tells him, "The hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom." So let me just ask you, how do you think David responded? Have we seen David respond to this point in time? Quite often we saw David doing what? Inquiring of the Lord, seeking the Lord, worshiping the Lord and seeking his mind and saying, you know, what's occurring here? What can we do? You know, what am I supposed to do? There have been times where David did not inquire of the Lord. And those times were always problematic, were they not? We've seen a couple of them like that. Look at what David does. He hears this, "The hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom." Then verse 14, David said to all of his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, for otherwise none of us will escape from Absalom. Go in haste, or he will overtake us quickly and bring down calamity on us and strike the city with the edge of the sword." What is he doing? He's running. He's fleeing. Why is he fleeing? Well, we sort of see the overt thing here at the end of it. He says, we need to go in haste or he's going to overtake us quickly and bring down calamity on us. There's going to be calamity not only on King David, but everyone associated with him. All of his offspring, his servants, everybody. Calamity is going to come and he's going to strike the city with the edge of the sword. David was fleeing for the welfare of the city. He was fleeing because of the welfare of his servants, of his progeny, of his family. He fled immediately because even when he allowed Absalom to go, Absalom was still suspect. David had some inkling of what was going on. He had to have known about what he was doing at that city gate there with the judging and all that kind of stuff. And he was keeping his eye on him and he was giving him a chance to go off and to pay this vow. Absalom had seized this moment when he heard that the people's hearts were turned and what was going on. He went, "I know what's happening." Hey, we'll press on this story in the next episode. I'll see y'all then. Goodbye.